We are going to speak today in general terms about Shirei HaMa'alot. There are 15 mizmorim in the latter part of the Sefer Tehillim from the 120th through the 134th Psalm that begin with the word Shir HaMa'alot, except for one that says Shir LaMa'alot, which seems to be a small variation. Four of those are attributed or dedicated to David HaMelech. His name is mentioned in the Ktovet, in the top. It'll say, Shir HaMa'alot LeDavid. Now, LeDavid can mean for David. It can mean by David. It was his, Shel David. It can also mean Al David, that somehow it is related about David, and that his life and his experience are the, if you like, the inspiration for the mizmor. What is not clear is there's one mizmor that is written Lishlomo. Again, we don't know if this is authored by Shlomo HaMelech, whether this is dedicated to his memory, whether this is a case of an inspiration somehow about Shlomo. But all the rest are anonymous. And what makes it difficult to understand is why these are called Shirei HaMa'alot. What is the Ma'alot? Now, in English, they translate that as ascents, rising. And Rashi seems to imply that it would be the equivalent of what we would think today as stairs on a staircase, steps going upwards. And what he tells us is, based on the Mishnah in Sukkah, that Ma'alot refers to the 15 risers, or the steps that were leading from the men's court to the women's section surrounding the temple in Yerushalayim. But that was true of Bayit Sheni. At least we know that that's the case in Bayit Sheni, and evidence of that kind has been found archaeologically as well. And what he said is that the Levim would stand on these stairs. Now, I need you to know that every riser was rather wide as you ascended up to Har HaBayit, and Levim would stand there with musical instruments. And as people came up, they sang different songs, a song for every riser. And as a result, many believe that these were songs that were part of the pilgrimage ceremony in Aliyat HaRegel, and a double play on the word La'alot, La'alot LaRegel, to come up to Yerushalayim on the pilgrimage on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, when they would all come to Yerushalayim. And this was part of the incredible celebration. And if that's the case, it is also indicated that this was perhaps meant to be sung originally on Simchat Beit HaShoevah, which occurred, of course, in Chag HaSukkot. But that description, which is written in the Mishnah, seems to be a description of something that happened in Bayit Sheni towards the end of it, in what we know as the Herodian Temple. Now, the Herodian Temple did not last that long. It was completed in about 19 Common Era and destroyed in 70 Common Era, and was praised for its beauty and how gorgeous it was. But remember that the Herodian Temple is nothing more than the renovation and expansion of Bayit Sheni, which stood for well over 400 years. So was this only towards the end? Was this all the time for Bayit Sheni, or was this something that already occurred in Bayit Rishon? Well, if you look at the Mizmorei Tehillim, and I will simply share with you the first few of them, you will see that it certainly does not seem to describe an experience of Simchat Beit HaShoevah, of Shloshet Regalim, of any kind of joyous pilgrimage going up to Yerushalayim, nothing of the kind at all. So here we go. If you look carefully, and I don't know if you have your Mizmorei Tehillim in front of you, but in any event, if you look very carefully, you'll see Mizmor Kaf Kuf Kaf, which is the 120th Psalm. Shir Amalot El Hashem Betzarati Li Karati Vayaneni. I called out to Hashem when I was in trouble, and He answered me. Hashem Matzila Nafshi Misfat Sheker Milashon Rimia. And He describes here the problem, the suffering that occurred either to David or to somebody else or to Am Yisrael when they suffer libels, slander, falsehoods that are presented against them. In fact, we can see that this is the case in Pasuk Hey, Oyali Kigarti Meshech Shachanti Moale Kedar. Woe to me, I've been living with Meshech. I've been dwelling here so long among the tents of Kedar, whoever they are. But whatever it is, it's clearly not written in any kind of a celebration. And certainly not in Eretz Yisrael or in Yerushalayim, because whoever is writing this is writing about being maligned, being defamed in Golos somewhere. Who wrote this and when? And when would it have been sung then? In the next Mizmor, we get a similar kind of sense. Shir la ma'alot. Shir la ma'alot. A song for the risers, for the steps, for Aliyah. Oh, esai na ele harim, me'ain yavo ezri. And now there's a certain sense that maybe there is hashgacha. The Ribbono Shel Olam is watching over us. Hine lo yanum velo yishan, shomer Yisrael. But what you're being told is Hashem shishmor tzeitecha uvoecha me'ata ve'ad olam. At best, this is being sung by somebody who's going on a trip, going far, far away, and possibly facing danger, because he's looking, I look for the mountains, I look to those above, who will come to my help? Excuse me. Followed by Kuf Kaf Bet. Shira Ma'alot le David. This is the only one that seems to be fitting, appropriate to what Rashi told us. Le David. So I might attribute it to Bayit Rishon. But of course, Bayit Rishon does not exist when David is there. So David drew the plans. It was going to be built by Shlomo HaMelech. Perhaps he also prepared some of the songs that would be sung when Am Yisrael would come to Beit HaMikdash. But he writes here, Samachti be'omrim li Beit Hashem nelech. Please look at the tenses. I was happy when they tell me we will go to the house of Hashem. I was happy when they told me, and I'm reliving something I once experienced. And then he moves to the present tense. Omdot hayu ragleinu b'sha'arayich Yerushalayim. But the present tense is now with hayu. Oh, our feet were standing. As somebody is recalling an event that occurred a long, long time ago. And how do I know this? Shesham. For there, alu shvatim shifteka, that was the place where the tribes of Israel would come up. Edut li Yisrael lehodot l'shem Hashem, ki shama, for there, yashvu, they sat, kisot l'mishpat, kisot l'beit David. Whoever is writing this is recalling an experience very vividly that he had lived through. But it's long gone. It's in the past tense. It no longer is. Truly written by somebody who's already in Golus, but perhaps in Bavel, then live to see Bayit Rishon. Is that the case then? Comes Bayit Kuf Kaf Gimel and tells us as follows. Elecha nasati et einai hayoshvi bashamayim. הנה כי עיני עבדים על יד אדוניהם, כעיני שפחה על יד גבירתה, כן עינינו אל השם אלוקינו עד שיחננו. Now if you look carefully, you'll see פסוק א' is written in first person. אני נשאתי את עיניי, I lifted my eyes to the one up dwelling in heaven, and this God seems to be far, far away, much higher than the mountains that he was lifting his eyes to earlier. And then adding on to them, he suddenly speaks no longer for himself alone, but for us. We speak, our eyes, all of us, are turned to Hashem Elokeinu, Ad Sheyachaneinu, until he finally has mercy upon us. At which point you hear the chorus singing, Chaneinu Hashem, Chaneinu, please God, have mercy upon us. Ki Rav Sabanu. Oh, we're satiated up to here with derision, with mockery. Rabat Savala Nafshenu Halaga Shananim. Oh, we've had enough up to here, the mockery of those who are so much at peace, those that are at ease. Habuz Ligeonim. Do you see what's going on here? How can I say that this was in Beit HaMikdash? What are we talking about here? And when was this written? Comes Kuf Kavdalid. Shir HaMa'alot LeDavid? David wrote this? Dedicated to David? Lulei Hayem Hashem Shehayalan Yomarna Yisrael. Oh, whoa, if it hadn't been for Hashem. Please join me, Israel. Lulei Hashem Shehayalanu Bikum Aleinu Adam. When human beings rose up against us. Azai Chaim Balaum. They swallowed us alive, Becharot HaPamban. Azai HaMayim Shetafunu, the waters came rushing against us, nearly making us drown. Nachala Avar Al Nafshenu. Azai Avar Al Nafshenu HaMayim HaZeitonim. What's going on here? Baruch Hashem Shelo Netananu Teref Leshinehem. Baruch Hashem that he didn't give us, we the survivors, were not prey for their teeth. We made it by the skin of our chinny chin chins. If you look carefully, you will see that I told you four mizmorim in which Shirei HaMa'alot open. And except for one that is related to Beit HaMikdash, and even that one, none of them seem to have been written for Aliyah LaRegel. None of them seem to be joyous songs sung on the risers as people came up to Beit HaMikdash to bring their korbanot and to celebrate three times a year. In fact, if anything, it seems to be written by people who are deep in galus, persecuted, suffering, helpless, and begging God to please not forget them. So when was this written? And if that's the case, what does Ma'alot mean? If that's the case, you can see that Rashi, citing the first Mishnah, that tells us that this was written, that this was sung by the Levim. And the question is, when did the Levim sing this? And why would this, and is that what it refers to, the ma'alot that are appropriate to this risers that go to Beit HaMikdash? Hardly. Hardly. So I will show you that, in fact, there are other theories, including from the Mishnayos that we have. When we come to, and I'm going to share this with you, I think that some of you have already received these sources, so I will show you. As I pointed out to you, in Kuf Kaf Bet, at least there is a mention of Beit Hashem. There is a mention about people standing at the gates of Yerushalayim, ready to go up to the temple, the sanctuary of God, ready to go up to the place where once there was the thrones of the house of David, and once was the thrones of the Shoftim of the Sanhedrin. Is this then sung, perhaps, by the people that are coming back with Zerubbabel? And if that's the case, Ma'alot is in fact a reference not to the risers, but to Aliyah, to those who made Aliyah from Babel and came back to Yerushalayim, that remnant that sings about what was in Golus, and now they are trying to rebuild. That would make sense why they would say, Shesham, there was the place where people used to rise up and come up to Beit HaMikdash. That was the place where the house of David was sitting. Yes, that is Zion. And that's the place where we will again rebuild the second bayit. If that's the case, then Rashi is substantiated. It is sung by the Levim, not in Bayit Rishon. It is sung in Bayit Sheni. In Bayit Sheni, it is sung with a poignant memory that in Bayit Sheni, all we have are two tribes that come back, Yehuda and Binyamin. 10 tribes are lost. And even of the Yehuda and Binyamin, many of them have assimilated in Babel and did not come back with Ezra and Nehemiah and Zerubbabel. So the small remnant is trying to rebuild. And they are encouraged by the Navi Zechariah. That would be substantiated by Mizmor Kuf Kaf Vav, the 126th Psalm. You all know it. You say it so often. Beshuv Hashem et Shivat Zion, hayinu kecholmim. Oh, when Hashem came back. Look at the word shuv. To bring back is heshiv. Beshuv Hashem is a double entendre. It means when Hashem came back together with Shivat Zion, with those who chose to come back, with Ezra and Nehemiah and Zerubbabel, when they were allowed by Dariavesh to come back to Eretz Israel and rebuild. We were like dreamers. Ah, zimales chok pinu ulshorneinu rina. When we finally made it to Eretz Israel and they built a Beit HaMikdash of wood, a small little thing, but a remnant, which eventually would be expanded and then expanded and then expanded again. Az yomru bagoyim, az amru, or as yomru. Suddenly, no longer is this about them. Is he talking about Bayit Sheni, or is he talking about Bayit Shlishi? Do you understand why, after the conquest of the rest of Yerushalayim in the Six-Day War, the Karyan on Kol Yisrael went up and sang, Beshuv Hashem et Shivat Zion, Hayinu kecholmim, Az yemales chok pinu. It's not over yet. As then can be past tense, or it can be future tense. Then, when it will finally happen, we'll no longer be dreamers, we will be awake. Then we can finally laugh with a full mouth. Then our tongues can sing joyous songs instead of sad songs. Then the goyim will say, oh, higdil Hashem lasot imele. God has done great things for these people, the poor remnant that they are. Higdil Hashem lasot imanu hayinu smechim. And we respond, what he's done for us so far has been enough for us to be able to be happy. We want more, but it's already enough for us to rejoice. And then we beg God, Shuva Hashem, et Shviteinu. That little word et is a double entendre. Come back, God, along with our return, along with we Jews that are coming back to Eretz Yisrael. Come bring the Shekhinah back to us. Ka'afikim b'negev, like the vadis, those channels in the Negev, which in the summer are dry. And you would never know that when the first major rainfalls fall in the north, suddenly out of nowhere comes a gushing water filling up those vadis, completely unseen, and the sound is like a rushing train. And it comes all at once. They all come back to us, the gushing waters. But now the waters is not seen as chas v'shalom, something that will drown us, but rather the rushing of bracha, the rushing of fruitfulness, and the ability to make the desert bloom again. Makes sense. However, not everything holds up for this. Because suddenly we get the following. And I'm giving you merely snippets here and there. If this is the mizmor of Shivat Zion, of Jews that came back and tried to rebuild with a sight towards the future, when in Mirtz Hashem it will be built completely and all of Am Yisrael will come back. What happens suddenly in Kuf Lamed Bet, in the 132nd Psalm? Suddenly, it seems to be, in fact, a retrospective of 1,000 years earlier. Zechor Hashem le David et kol unuto. This is also Shira Manot. Remember God and hold it as a schut for David, all that he suffered. Asher nishba la Hashem. He swore and made an oath. If I will go into my home, if I will lay myself to sleep peacefully, shalom alai nafshi, if I will let myself sleep the sleep of innocence, Ad emtza makom laHashem, mishkenot leAbir Yaakov. You see, David said he would not sleep, he would not rest until he would find the place where Beit HaMikdash would be built. Only to be told, of course, that he would not be zoiche to build it, that his son Shlomo HaMelech would build the Beit HaMikdash. But if that's the case, then when was this written? Is this written by David or about David or his longing to build Beit HaMikdash? Adem tzamakom laHashem mishkenot laAbir Yaakov. And you remember that he conquered from the Yevusim Yerushalayim. And you will remember that he brought up the Aron Kodesh from Kiryat Yearim, and everybody danced and everybody rejoiced. And the most that David could do was, Kuma Hashem, come up Hashem, Lemnuchatecha, to the resting place where you will be, Atav Aaron Uzecha, when he brought up the Aaron Kodesh, the Ark, and danced at that time, if you will remember. So we're told there as follows. Perhaps that's when it was sung. It was sung, perhaps, or it was composed as a memorial to David's relentless desire to build Beit HaMikdash, one that he never had a chance to fulfill, but that the poets who are writing Shirei HaMa'alot are remembering and writing in dedication to him. In Divrei HaYamim, we're told, V'David v'chol Yisrael mishakim lifnei ha'elokim b'chol oz u'bishirim u'bikinorot u'binevalim u'betupim u'bibitzaltayim u'bichatzotzot. David and all Israel were rejoicing, dancing, singing, and laughing before God with all of their strength, with songs, with lyres, with harps, with drums, with tambourines and trumpets, and they celebrated the bringing of the Aaron up to Yerushalayim, where David prepared the groundwork and the plans for the Beit HaMikdash, which his son would ultimately build. So the Yerushalmi, the Talmud Yerushalmi, tells us as follows. Ma'alot does not stand for the risers that only existed in Beit Sheni. And Ma'alot does not stand for Aliyah LaRegel, because we didn't have Aliyah LaRegel in many of these songs. Instead, Ma'alot is a play on the word Olot, burnt offerings, and that they were sung when korbanot were brought, whether it was the Mishkan, whether it was Bayit Sheni, whether it was Bayit Rishon, or whether it was betwixt and between when they built a Mizbeach and didn't have a Bayit. But we have no Olot, and we have no korbanot. So what does it mean for us if that's the case? It seems instead, says Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, that Ma'alot is an indication of the opposite of Yeridot. And we speak that way in our language as well, in English as well. We speak of people being elated, of people being exalted when they are happy. We are speaking of people being down, depressed, when they are sad, when they are despairing. And that's why you will see in Mizmor Kuf Lamed this type of feeling. Because when we speak of mountains high and when we speak of valleys low, we're not talking about places geographically. We are talking about states of mind. Mima makim kraticha Hashem. I called you from the depths, my God. Hashem shim'a bekoli, tiyena uznecha kashuvot lekol tachanonai. When a person feels that no one's hearing him, when he's in anguish, when there's no one to talk to, that would indicate that Ma'alot means when a person is trying to lift himself up out of despair and despondency. And that's why we saw in Mizmor Kuf Kaf Gimel, Elecha Nasati Eteinai, I lifted up my eyes to you, Hayoshvi Bashamayim, as eyes of the servants lifted up to their masters. And what are you waiting for when you are a servant looking up to your master? For your bread, for your dependency, or chas v'shalom for a smack and a whip? You don't know what's coming to you. There is a sense here of insecurity, and that God is up in heaven and I'm down here on earth, and he seems to be so far, far away. And that would be, of course, the case also in Kuf Kaf Dalet, which we saw. Oh, lulei Hashem shehayalanu, if Hashem had not been with us, they would have swallowed us alive. If Hashem had not been with us when people rose up against us. Don't you see? This is not about going up physically. This is going up emotionally, spiritually. And those are the ma'alot. But to go up, one needs to understand how low you are. There is a concept called Yirida Leshem Aliyah. Sometimes a person has to know how low he's fallen in order to be able to begin to rise up and find out where he comes from. And so then you'll see, in fact, that there's many Mizmorei Tehillim, much earlier than this one, in which even David would write about this, or in which the Golim, those that were exiled, wrote about it. So in the 42nd Psalm, for example, we hear as follows, Eile Eskera. Oh, these are the ones I remember. And when I remember them, my soul pours out. My soul pours out, but you could almost imagine the tears overflowing. When we walked, when we used to walk in procession to the house of God, oh, how beautiful it was. But the nostalgic longing for those who experienced it can't be ours anymore because we no longer remember it. But that's why we also sing, Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim. Tishkach Yemini, I won't forget it, I won't forget it. And so all of these songs were meant for us to remember what it was like, even as we recognize how far we've fallen, where we are today, how low we are today, and how far we have yet to rise. And that's the reason for Ma'alot, according to Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. Rabbeinu Saadia Gaon, living in the 900s, and the Meiri, living in the 1200s, argue that Ma'alot is completely different, that Ma'alot are the kind of songs that are meant to be sung with ever-rising octaves. So that when you're singing Lulei Hashem, were it not for God being with us, you would have a soloist. And then next thing you know, you would have the chorus joining in together. So you have a higher, powerful voice. And that is not unusual when we see this kind of thing. Or when we hear as follows, Chaneinu Hashem, Chaneinu. And then they repeat, Chaneinu Hashem, Chaneinu. So it was meant to go higher and higher. Can you imagine what it would have been like to sing as a congregation where you have the chazan, one voice, then you've got a partial chorus joining in, and then you have the whole congregation joining in together. His argument, Rabbeinu Saadia Gaon, is that this was meant to be sung with ever-rising voices and ever-rising octaves, very much the way we sing today, Kol Nidrei. Very softly, louder, louder yet. So that it would have been sung softly the first lines, and then higher, not only because we're going from a bass to an alto or a soprano, but rather also with everybody joining together. So in many shuls, the chazan begins Kol Nidrei, and then slowly everybody joins along with him as they move it, say it over and over again. Sfono argues instead that Ma'alot stands for a rise in intellectual awareness, in spiritual knowledge, and in greater understanding over time. So that he says that what we have occurring in Shirei HaMa'alot, in the way that they were ordered by Anshei Knesset HaGdola, is low, low, higher, higher, back down again, higher, 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 so that you're not simply repeating, this up, down, up, down, but that you are very much like climbing mountains. You're going round, and then you're going up to another level again. And so that it forms a spiral, a historic spiral, until Emir Tashem, it will in fact become utterly and completely clear when we come to understand what it is that we've experienced, what all of this means for us. I will stop here and